Celebration Adventist Reflections.
Now, to discuss character building ideas, here is your host, Dr. Danzy.
I would like to thank you for the invitation to come and share a little bit of the Word of God. It is always a privilege to be able to do that. Let me say something. I am hoping that I'm going to be able to say it right. Talofa. Manua Sabati. Sounds about what I said, so that's good. Praise God. One day, we will meet in heaven and we'll be able to, you and I can communicate fine. But one day we'll be able to communicate with other people who can communicate fine. I would like to start today by giving a little story, but I would like to maybe, I'll sit in here. You cannot see me, don't worry about it. I'll come back up. So I would like to share with our adventurers a little story that happened once upon a time, relevant to what we're going to share today. So let me grab this. And let me come over. Is that okay? Is that okay? It's not going to be long, although I always say that, and usually it takes a little bit long. So I was about younger than you, because you are adventurers. You don't have pre-adventurers, do you? You don't have pre? No? So you will be at least six, or from 6 to 10. You're 5? 4? 5? I was probably about 3. Thereabouts, 3, maybe turning 4. So I'm from Mexico. And I come from the south part of Mexico. But when I was little, I used to live in the northern part of Mexico. And my father, my dad, and I, well, actually my dad, my brother, and I used to go every morning. We used to go for a walk. And as we went for a walk, we would go to the rubbish bin. Back then, the rubbish bins were a bit cleaner. And we would pick up the packages where the chips come, like Smith's or the, you know, the salt and vinegar bags. But they were smaller, so they were the ones that you can buy for yourself. So it was like a personal, kind of like serve. Yeah, about that size. Sometimes we didn't have to go to the rubbish because in our walk we will find that people were not very nice and would throw it in the on the side of the walkway. Should we throw the rubbish on the side of the walkway instead of the bin? We shouldn't we? So people did that. So we would pick it up and we would come to this creek. There was a channel of water that would go through this university. It was an Adventist university. And so what we will do, my dad will open the package flat open. He will cut the sides, open it. And then he will make for us, he will teach us how to make little boats with them. And so we will start at one part of the channel and we will put these little boats in the water so they will go and travel. I don't know how he did it. He did a good job because they never sank, you know. Now, one day I decided that Daniel, that's me, that Dan was big enough to be able to do his own. And that was okay because my dad has been teaching us this all the time. So I tried and I folded it and it came okay. But Dan was also deciding that he was also big enough to put his own boat in the water. What do you think my dad said? My dad said, oh, I'm not sure if that's a good idea. And I said, but I want to do it. And he's like, no, I'm not sure if that's a good idea. Oh, please. And I started to make a big deal out of it. And my dad said, okay, well, you know, just be careful. Go ahead. I did that because I saw my brother used to do his own. My brother is bigger than me. So he will do his own. My dad pulled my own boat and he pulled his own boat. And I'm like, well, everybody's pulling their own except me. So I wanted to do the same. So I went and I kneeled down and I reached to the water to pull my little boat. And what do you think happened? I fell in the water and I sank in the water. And there was nothing that could have stopped me. I was blessed and fortunate that my dad was there and he quickly reacted, jumped in the water and grabbed me by, I don't know what, it wasn't my hair, I'm sure of that. Even though it looks like he probably did. grabbed me by the shirt, pulled me out, bring me out, and we went home to have a warm shower. It was winter, and in that place of Mexico, even the snow can come down. It was very cold water. So I learned a very good lesson, but this is the thing. We're going to talk today about something. We're going to talk about unstoppable things. Things that we cannot stop. When I decided that I wanted to put this boat, even though my father told me, don't do that, I decided that I wanted to continue doing it. And he said, well, you know, okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I let you do it, and I sunk. And nothing could have stopped me, but my father saved me. So I would like you to listen and pay attention to what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about two people today. Now, I would like to have a little word of prayer with you so that when I go up, we together listen to this message. God talks to me as he's going to talk to you because the message is also for me. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Gracious Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that you have given us together to be able to be here freely. Lord, there are things that we choose, that we decide from very little up to very, very old that sometimes don't resonate with you and sometimes they do. Whatever the case is, Father, we pray that you help us so that we might be able to understand that with you we can be unstoppable with great force and for the best cause we could choose. And as we go to deliver this message, Father, we pray that all of us be touched, that our minds be changed, that when we leave this place, your Holy Spirit be such that we may be different than when we first came today to the church. And this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I would like to, if you have your Bibles, open them. If you do not have a Bible, I encourage you to get close to somebody who does. If you have your Bibles on your phone, if you're going to be on Facebook, on Instagram, on Snapchat, may it be so that you post the verse we're talking about. And then you quit it and continue. It was a summer, and a group of pathfinders gathered together in this basketball court. It was just one of those summer days when you don't have school. You have, you know, school holidays. And as these pathfinders were gathering to play basketball, one of them decided to go and buy a packet of cigarettes. And so as they came to this court, this guy decided that he will take the packet of cigarettes out and he will start smoking for the first time ever. And from there on, nothing could stop this guy and nobody but one. So come with me and read something. We're going to talk about two people. I mentioned that this is one of those people. But I would like to also speak about somebody else. So I would like you to track with me because we're going to swap and change. Come with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9. The story tells us about this guy, this man. You probably have heard about him. If you went to Camporee, you will know what I'm talking about. If you didn't go to Camporee, that's okay. If you've been in Pathfinders long enough, you will know as well. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. But Paul is still burning with the desire to put to death the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and made a request for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if there were any of those Christians on the way, whether they were men or they were women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And eventually his desire was to do what? To kill them. So here we have a guy, Paul, and basically what he did is he went to the George Munoz of the time. George Munoz is kind of like the president of the Australian Union. So he went to this guy and said, look, give me some letters so that I can go through all these places. And my aim is all those pathfinders who follow Christ, I'm going to gather them and I'm going to put them in one of those, paddy wagons, as many as we have to, and we're going to bring them back to the headquarters. As these pathfinders that were in that basketball court enjoy the company of each other, some of them fell by the pressure of this guy. Some of them didn't. But how can it be that a guy who was a pathfinder, who was a Christian, who was taught what he needed to be taught to be an example to others, was falling for the pressures of a lifestyle that he knew he shouldn't choose? Why? The story in the Bible tells us that Paul was taught, Paul was instructed And he was mentored by the best of the best. And as he was mentored by the best of the best, the people who were teaching him believed that the Christians should disappear. They believed that, you know, this idea of wearing these uniforms that you're wearing here today, when it's not good enough, that it's all rubbish, that we shouldn't be wearing them, that this that has nothing to do with Christ and Christianity. And in doing so, they taught the people around him that they needed to get rid of these people. So Paul was taught what the people sincerely thought was what they were meant to be doing. Inspired writings tells us something. When Paul was present at the killing of a very committed pathfinder, a very committed Christian, his name was Stephen, he gained popularity and status. Paul, with the desire to do what he was impressed to do, he went out to kill people. Do you think that Paul was doing the right or the wrong thing? Was he doing the right thing? Put your hand up. Was he doing the wrong thing? Yeah. This is the thing. Thank you. This is the thing. Paul was doing the wrong thing, but he believed that he was doing the right thing. Pathfinders, I want to tell you something. I want to share something with you. The time comes in the life of a Christian. The time will come in your life as a pathfinder that whatever you once thought that was wrong becomes right if you keep on doing it over and over and over again. And what you once believed, what you once were taught by your pathfinder leaders in the camporees, in the camp meetings, in the prayer meetings, in everything that you do as a pathfinder, moreover so as a Christian, it starts to fade away. And what once was not liked by you becomes something that you appreciate and you believe that that's okay. Come with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, verse 3. Because the Bible says that Paul wasn't only believing that he was doing the right thing. He was committed to do what he thought he should be doing. In Acts chapter 8, verse 3 says, "And for Saul," or Paul, "he made havoc," or he went with hatred against the church, "entering into every house and committed them to prison." Because Paul believed that he was doing the right thing, there was nothing, exactly nothing, that could stop him. When he set his mind into do something, he'll continue to do that. This guy who was in that basketball court, he went and he started to lit up this cigarette. And he did that and he smoked. And then he offered to some of his friends. Some of his friends fell, but some didn't. But he was unstoppable. Once he started, he found it hard to stop. He will go beyond. He was surrounded by this group of people, by this group of friends that were not from the Pathfinder Club, that were not from the church, who were doing this lifestyle. They were smoking, drinking, and having parties. And not only that, his teachers, they didn't really care about Christianity. So also the people who instructed him believed that this was the right thing to do. They didn't see anything wrong. They didn't know anything different. This pathfinder knew, but eventually the more he mingled with them, he started to see this as something acceptable. But he went beyond. When his friends, who were not pathfinders, were smoking only one cigarette, he will go beyond that. He will go and smoke about a packet a day. And so, whilst these people, the people of the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the conference, were trying to kill Christians and persecute Christians, Paul said, that's not good enough for me. I'm going to go beyond. I cannot sit here just waiting for the Christians to be brought. I am going to go and do it. And so the story continues to tell us in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9, verses 3 to 6. It says, "And whilst he was journeying, he came near Damascus. And suddenly he saw a light from heaven shining around him. And he went down to the earth, and a voice said to him, 'Paul, Paul, why are you attacking me so cruelly?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are attacking. But get up and go into the town, and it will be made clear to you what you have to do.' And the men and women who were with him were not able to see anything but they heard the voice. but saw nobody. And Paul got up from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw nothing, and he was guided by the hand into Damascus. He was blinded. The Bible says that as Paul continued, he said, look, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to go from Victoria to the Kingston Samoan Seventh-day Adventist Church to gather all these guys, put them into prison. Hopefully, eventually, we'll trial them unfairly because they need to be put to death. But Paul has an experience. He had in his mind the decision that nobody will stop him. He made a choice. Key word for today is that choice. He made a choice that nothing and nobody will stop him in his journey. He became unstoppable for what he thought that he should be doing. And he became so unstoppable. I don't know how much you have walked. What's the longest walk that you have done in your life? If you have done one of those hiking honors, you probably have done a fair bit, maybe even a 20K walk. I think it's part of the requirements. This guy literally walked and purposed in his mind to walk hundreds and hundreds of kilometers so that he will kill the people he thought he should be killing. That is the life of the Christian. That is the life of the pathfinder who sweats a wave like those guys in that basketball court, who wore the uniform on Sabbath and in special occasions, but started to deviate to a life that went against every single thing that we were here today. Just like with Paul's story, Paul was surrounded by people who came with him. The Bible says, we read it, that some of them, they heard something, but they didn't understand. They couldn't see anything. Only Paul did. I am confident that some of you here today are sitting. It doesn't matter if you're not a pathfinder. You might be older. You're sitting here, you're sitting, and you're thinking, you know, I'm hearing this stuff, but you're saying, I don't really want to listen too much about it because I think this guy is going through the direction I don't want to really get into. Some of us here today are listening to the message, me included, and are making little tiny decisions as we continue to listen to the message. And like the people who were with Paul, some of us don't want to hear it. I was called here today for you to hear it, for me to ask you to listen to the message. Because perhaps you've been influenced by the wrong crowd. Perhaps you've been influenced by the wrong people at school, at work, in the places that you might volunteer into. God is saying, you know, nothing can stop you except me if you allow me to. Some of you might feel that there is nothing really that you can do to come back. Because perhaps you feel that life has been not fair. I have felt that way many times. And you feel that your relationships that you have with your friends are not the best. And maybe you have a romantic relationship that you feel that should be progressing and it's not going anywhere. Or perhaps you were like me who was here and in the interview I shared with you that I was in a relationship I shouldn't be. Twice I stopped that relationship. But I kept on being weak and coming back to it. And you know you feel guilty about it, and you know that maybe you shouldn't be in that stuff. Or perhaps like these pathfinders in that basketball court, you're doing things, engaging in behaviors you know that go against everything that your leaders are teaching you. I will go a little bit farther because I might not come back. I don't know. Maybe you won't invite me to come back ever again. So I need to make sure that I say what I need to say, that what I'm impressed that I have to say. Perhaps some of you are leaders of the pathfinders or leaders of the adventurers. Perhaps some of you are here sitting leading some other thing in the church, and you know that exactly the same thing I'm doing, it's true in your life. You've been influenced by something that it has come to the point that you think it's okay to do. But right now, as I'm speaking these words, as the Holy Spirit is speaking to me as well, you know that there is that one little thing, that one thing that you need to stop, because God will not force you to stop. You have to choose it. And if you choose to stop, God will make you unstoppable for Him. I know that God can and will accept you back. Because he accepted Paul. And today I challenge you to be an unstoppable pathfinder. Today I will challenge everybody here, me included, to be unstoppable Christians for his cause. I know that you haven't been gone so far that you cannot come back, whatever you have done. I know that because that day when I lit up that cigarette and I influenced people outside from church, some of my friends, they haven't come back to church. And I have gone back to us
for their forgiveness. They are still not in church. Sometimes that's not sufficient. And I pray for them that the Holy Spirit talks to them as he called me out of that system. Because it doesn't matter. You know, Christianity and pie-findership doesn't get inherited. Your father, your mother might be a leader of the church. You don't inherit that. My father was a pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And both of my parents were active in the church, in Pathfinder leadership as well. But the time I made that decision, nothing was going to stop me. But God had a different plan. And God had a plan for you. If God had a plan for me that was bigger, greater, something that I couldn't even think of, I am confident that it doesn't matter where you are. God has a plan for you. And I want to tell you something today, that there is nothing, even whatever you do, it doesn't matter. I want to share with you that nothing stops God from loving you. It doesn't matter what you do. When I was in that basketball court in Mexico doing something that I knew was wrong against my own body, against my own mind, deviating, being a stumbling block with my friends who had never ever even thought about cigarette smoking. As I introduce it to them, God is saying, you know, I don't like that, but I still love you. And I'm going to wait. And I'm going to take you to places. And I'm going to make of you the best I can make. I'm still a work in progress. And today I would like to encourage you as a pathfinder to be able to not just wear the uniform for the sake of wearing it, wear it with some Christian pride. And I'm not saying become proud, but wear it with Christian pride. This exact uniform is the uniform that I wore about 26 years ago. And I keep on wearing it every time, remembering the things that I did and where God calls me out from. And if you are not there, some of you might be sitting here, no, okay, that's pretty cool. I'm not there. I mean, I'm not that bad. Whatever. Good. I was speaking to a colleague of mine one day in the hospital in Maryborough, and I was speaking about the idea of Christianity. She's a Christian, different denomination, doesn't matter. What she was saying, what I was sharing with her is, isn't it amazing that there are a lot of people who have gone by the wayside and they come back to Christianity as if this is the best amazing thing. I'm telling you my story, and today I'm here preaching, sharing the word because God called me to do so, and I'm very pleased with that. I'm very humble that I can do that. But you have never stepped away your foot from church. There is more value in that as well. Why? Because you have been tempted yet have made choices to remain in church. Amen. So you might be a Paul or you might be a John the Baptist. It doesn't matter. The one thing that matters is that you are going to be, if you are not there, unstoppable for Christ. Or if you are already there, continue to be unstoppable for Christ so that you can be part of the special forces of Jesus Christ. Amen. Something changed. Because the Bible says that when you agree, when you accept, when you believe that what Christ is doing with you today, what Christ is calling you to do, whatever that is, that's between you and the Holy Spirit. He's talking to you now. I know that. And you accept it. Amazing things happen. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, if you are there, let us go together. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. 38 and 39 of chapter 8 of the book of Romans says, "For I am persuaded, I am certain, that there is no death, no life, no angels, no government, no rulers, nothing right here, right now, nothing that happened in the past, nothing that will happen in the future. There is no power, whether it's high or little, nothing that was made will be able to come between God, between His love and me." Amen. Nothing will be able to come between Christ and you. And the time when Paul realized that, the time when Paul said, you know, nothing will stop me from following Christ, it doesn't matter what life threw at him. Influences, broken relationships, broken homes, hardships at school and at work, they meant nothing for him anymore. The Bible says that Paul suffered lashes that would pierce through his skin. He was beaten by the rod through his bones. He suffered shipwrecks, and I can imagine him treading water, struggling to catch a breath in the tempest. Went through sandstorms and snowstorms, through lightning and rain. People bashed him up and left him almost dead on the side of the road. after he accepted Christ. But he decided that nothing and nobody will stop him, because he knew that nothing could be between him and Christ. Nothing could be between him and the love of Christ. And nothing could stop him, because he says, Christ, doesn't matter what happens to me, I'm doing this for you. Nothing will stop me. This is for your glory. Pathfinders, adventurers, nothing that you do will stop God from doing what he's doing with you.
Amen.
We'll call this person Andrew. I met Andrew many years ago in a place that shall remain nameless. It was a prison. And as I met Andrew, and as I sat in front of him, I could see something different from the other prisoners I've seen. And I said to him, how are you going? And he said to me, I'm great. Praise the Lord. So I'm sitting there, I'm looking at him, he's looking at me. And I said, what do you mean, praise the Lord? What are you talking about? And he said to me, I'm a Christian. And I had this burning desire to tell him, so am I. But I didn't, because I wanted to hear his story. And he shared with me his story. I realized that it doesn't matter how far you have gone when I met this guy. Nobody told me this story. Nobody shared it with me. I didn't read it in a book. I didn't watch a mission story from faraway land. And if Paul could be rescued from killing Christians and becoming an unstoppable force for Christ, if God could give a second, third, fourth, I don't know what the chance of this guy was, what's his number, what's his count. He didn't tell me that. What I know, if Andrew could be rescued from having killed people, he can rescue you too.
Amen.
So today I would like to make a call. I would like to make an appeal to you pathfinders and adventurers. It doesn't matter where you are. If you want to, if you choose to be an unstoppable force for Christ, regardless of what you have done, where you've been, regardless of the sufferings that you're going through, if you say, you know, I want to be an unstoppable force for Christ, I want to, regardless of the struggles I'm going through, I want to be part of those supernatural forces that God has appointed. Because, you know, the reality is you suffer because the devil wants you to suffer. And so the devil has appointed people, and the devil has appointed also angels and supernatural forces to mess up your life. Just like he has appointed people to mess up mine. But God says, even if the devil appointed people to mess up your life, I have appointed other beings, people and angels that are mightier and more powerful. And God himself said, I'm going to come myself through the Holy Spirit and reach out to you, because I want you to be part of my forces. I want you to be unstoppable, not for the other side, but for me, because I have plans for you. Jeremiah says, I have plans that you cannot even think of. I'm going to take you to places and you're going to do things for my cause. If you say, yes, I want to do that. So I invite you today, and I want to be very specific, because I don't want you to just do this because you feel peer pressured, because I have done it. And I just want you to do it. If you truly heard this message, if you truly believed it. So I'm going to make two appeals, three appeals. Number one, perhaps you know that you have been wearing this uniform, but you also know that there are things that are holding you back from being part of God's special forces, part of God's unstoppable team. If that is you, if God is saying, you know this is you, it doesn't matter what it is. Because when Andrew accepted Christ in jail, he has done more than you could ever imagine. But God is saying, if this is you, I want you to please come. Because what I want to do today, I would like to have a prayer together. From pathfinder to pathfinder, because I am still a pathfinder in my heart. I kept this uniform not just for the show. I wear it with pride. So I want you to come. If this is you, I would like to pray especially for you. Appeal number two. Perhaps you haven't really gone away from God, but let us not just make this day a pathfinder and adventurer day for the sake of showing the beautiful things they have done, but rather let us make this a day when we can see the beautiful things that God has done in their lives. And so perhaps you know you've been okay, But you want to recommit your life today. I would like us to make this day a reconsecration day. And that doesn't mean that you're away from God. It just means that you know that you need prayer. I know I need prayer. And I would like us to pray together here too. And number three. Perhaps you know somebody. Okay? Perhaps you know somebody who, like Paul, is doing something. He thinks it's okay. But it's not okay. Perhaps you have a friend or a family member. God says, the spirit of prophecy says that we can bring people and intercede for them before the throne of grace. So today I'm going to pray for those friends that I messed up. I feel responsible still. After all these years, if you know somebody, it could be in your family, it could be a brother, a sister, a cousin, an uncle, whatever it is, and you know, and you say, Lord, I'm thinking of this guy. Don't think that it is your mind. The Holy Spirit is telling you, think of that person, and it brought that name to your mind, and you would like to bring it before the throne of grace so that this person can be what once they were and be beyond, or perhaps get to know Christ because they never know him really. I would like to also come here because I would like us to pray together in that spirit. So three things. It could be you. It could be you who wants to reconsecrate. Or it could be somebody who we need to pray for. Somebody that we need to pray for. Amen. 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 God is good. So, I know there are some others out there who are a bit shy. That's okay. Thank you. I would like to say that as I think of my friends, one of them was one of my cousins. Still is. He's still alive. And it hurts me to see him doing whatever he does now because of what I did. And as I hurt, I know that God is hurting too. As you might be hurting for that family member, that friend, that neighbor, that you maybe, God is also hurting. I know that. So I would like us to kneel down together. If you are in your seats, you may kneel with us or you might remain in your seats, up to you. Well, let's kneel together and we have a word of prayer. For the people we love, for the people we care for ourselves. Gracious Lord, thank you so much for calling us here today to gather together, to encourage one another in love and good works, no forsaking coming together. Father, we believe that your Son is coming soon and time is running short, and you give us messages to know that we can be part of a team that can be unstoppable, your team. The one that will nothing, no principality, no devil will stop as we ascend up to meet our Savior in the clouds. But today you heard the call, you heard the appeals, you heard the messages. I would like to first pray for those who heard it and they know that they need to be here, but they are not here today. That you do not give them rest. Father, I boldly request on their behalf that your Holy Spirit may come today even as we speak. Boy, girl, big person, little person, you love them, you die for them, and you want them in your kingdom. So, Father, I pray that you don't give them rest, that you continue working in their minds until they make a decision for you. And Lord, there is many of us here who perhaps as we are, we haven't gone away from you as such, but we are still fighting with our own character, with our own choices. We're still serving you, but we need you because we know that without you we cannot do anything. Father, I pray that a double portion of your Holy Spirit may be also poured upon us. And lastly, Lord, you know who they are. You were there when they were conceived. You looked when they were born. You formed them in their mother's womb, and we heard for them. Perhaps some of us made the wrong choices and influence like me. Perhaps some of us had nothing to do with the choices they made. Regardless of that, it's not about us, Father. It's about them. And so, Father, we pray that even as we speak in faith, we pray this prayer, that as we speak this prayer, your Holy Spirit visits them as they are, where they are right now in this very moment, that some ray of light in the darkness they're living might see through that dark cloud, and they might realize that you exist, that you are alive, that your son came to die, that you yourself died, you are God, and you call them with your love, with your kindness, with your mercy, with your grace, to come here, to come home, because you're coming soon to go to the real place where nobody will stop us. Amen. So be with them, Father. Ease their pain, ease their suffering. Perhaps give us who are praying here together a hint of something we can do with and for them, so that we can give a little encouragement. Father, you promised that where two or three are gathered together, that you are also in here. We are more than just one, two, or three. There is many of us suffering, aching, and desiring for our brothers, our sisters, our cousins, our uncles, perhaps boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever that is, for you to call them into your fold. And so, Father, we leave it in your hands, because we can do very little and you can do mighty things. And it is in faith that we pray in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Remember to subscribe to this podcast, like it, share it, hashtag it, comment, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Tumblr as Adventist Reflections. God bless you.